back, everyone. Hope everyone had a nice yontif. And I want to continue. I'd like to continue in some inyanim of Hilchos Brachos, and specifically, but I want to begin tonight. And I say begin because there's a lot of details here, and a lot of details which are actually nogea. So I do anticipate it's going to take more than just tonight's shiur, and that is the halachas of the appropriate environment, the appropriate surroundings in which one can make a bracha, or for that matter, daven or say Kriya Shema, or even see Divrei Torah. And the really two main, two main categories, or two areas, two different areas of halacha that are pertinent here, both which come from a pasuk, the pasuk in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Ki Tse'etze, where it says, it's talking about, it happens to be talking about Bishas Melchama, but the pasuk says, V'hayo machanecha kadosh, v'lo yira b'cha ervas davar, v'shav me'acharecha. It says that that the Torah says, V'hayo machanecha kadosh, which means that, which Chazal learned out from there, whenever you are speaking Dvarim Sheva Kedusha, whether it's like things I mentioned, whether it's davening or Kriyishma or Divrei Torah, There is a din that the machane, the area which you are in, has to be kadosh. Kadosh there means that there can't be any foul substances. For example, tzoas adam, human feces. If it's usher, it's an isser d'oraisa. It's an isser d'oraisa for a person to say Kriya Shema or Divrei Torah, etc., in such a place, in a place where there is tzoas adam, human feces is present. Based on, and we'll see, according to the parameters of the halacha, we'll see a lot of details of when yes, when not, you know, etc. What does that mean within the place? How close, etc., etc. And we'll get to hopefully a lot of those details now, Bishop. But that's number one. That iser applies both to speaking, I mean to articulating words of davening or Divrei Torah, or even to thinking. It's even also to be maharher Divrei Torah in mikomos mitunafas, places that are considered filthy places, dirty places, places that are that have foul substances. One is not even allowed to be maharher, is not even allowed to think Divrei Torah. That's one category. The other category, that's from the pasuk, from the words v'hayo machanecha kadosh. And the other part where it says v'lo yirbecha ervas davar, that from there Chazal learned that a person is not allowed to speak words of davening or Divrei Torah in front of erva, meaning if there's a if there's uncovered erva, whether it's mamish, the makom erva itself, whether of a male or a female, or when it comes to a female, there's a lot of other places on the guf that are considered makom erva, the tefach beisha erva, just a tefach worth of skin that's exposed in an area that is supposed to be covered, that al-pialach is supposed to be covered. If it's exposed, one is not allowed to daven or say Divrei Torah in front of that. And again, according to the Prime, we'll have to, you know, get into Bishem, what does it mean in front, and etc. And does it help to close your eyes? And all these things will have to be discussed. But that's usher as well. But there, the isser is only speaking. They learn from the pas, v'lo yira b'cha ervas davar. The Torah only asser dibur. In that case, here who is mutter person. So just a repeat. Now this is not the area that I expect to talk about tonight. We'll hopefully get to that later this year. But just to mention briefly, like if a person is on a bus or a train or something, and he's facing people, women that are improperly clad, and in a way that say he would not be allowed to say the Ritara, but he's allowed to think. You're allowed to think and learning in that situation. There's no issue to think and learning in front of error. Of course, you have to do your best not to be mistakel anyway, not to look at improperly clad women. But the particular specific isser of Divrei Torah or Divrei Tefillah there is only saying, is only articulating, not thinking. Whereas when it comes, as I said before, to Makomas Metunafim and the Reich Ra, bad odors and things like that, that's usser even to think. That's why we are probably all aware that one is not allowed to think Divrei Torah even in a Beis HaKiseh, etc. Okay, so I want to discuss some of the halachas that in that first part, in the part of Ahaya, with some of the halachas that derive from this pasuk of Ahaya Machanecha Kadosh, that there can't be any foul substances around. So the primary one that we'll discuss today is Tzoas Adam. It's interesting that the tzoa of klovim, for example, of dogs, is not included in that. the certain behemoths, yes, certain not, but the other one, the one that might be most prevalent in the street, it would be tsoas klavim. That's actually not a problem, but tsoas adam is a problem. Now, so the basic halacha, and we'll discuss some of the basic guidelines, and then try to make it relevant in some of the more relevant cases. The basic halacha is that, number one, that the isser is when it's uncovered, when the tzara is uncovered. If it's uncovered, then the din is if it's within your dalat amos in any direction, whether even not just in front of you, but even off to the side or behind you, but it's within your dalat amos, if you're aware that it's within your dalat amos, or as we'll see, if you're in a place where it's very likely, it's very prevalent, and you're required to check. If it's very prevalent that in this area there would be tsoas adam uncovered, then it's not just whether that I know it's there, but even if I don't know, but I'm required to check, and that means I would have to check around to make sure there's nothing within my dalat amos on the sides or behind me. And when it comes to in front, it's not just dalat amos. When it comes to in front, it's melo einav. It's for as far as you could see, or as far as one could normally see. Meaning to say, even if it's nighttime and now you can't see very far because it's dark, but as far as you could normally see with average vision during the day, and even if you don't actually see it, you're not looking, or you're not looking that far, or you don't actually see it, but you know it's there, then it's usher. Now, but that's only in front. Behind you or off to the side, it's mutter. We're not getting into reach yet. Assuming there's no reach or no reach that you perceive. Reich is the odor, right? So there's no odor, and we'll discuss soon, Hashem, how far you have to be distance yourself from the odor. But assuming there's no odor, there's just the actual substance. So then, only in front of the person is it an issue when it's beyond dalat amos. Off to the side or behind, it's only a question of dalat amos. Now,
in that case, you could just turn.
Yeah, you could turn around so that it's no longer in front of you. Yes, yes. If okay, now, if there is a reach, if there's an odor, if a person senses the odor of the tzoa, then it's of course usher to say the bracha within or to daven within the area that he senses, that he's margish, that he notices he can smell the foul odor, even if it's more than dalat amos away. And not only that, but in the case that we're discussing so far, which is uncovered tzoa, exposed tzoa, the din is even that he even has to be 4 amos away from where the reach ends, meaning is to go to the edge to a point where he no longer can sense it, no one smells it, and then dalat amos. You're not allowed, not only can't you be within dalat amos of the actual substance, you can't even be within dalat amos of the reach of this substance. So that's all, clear halacha. It's not disputed. If, however, the tzoa is covered, so since the Torah says there in the previous pasuk when it's talking about a person who has to relieve himself out, he's not in his home surroundings, it says, v'shavta v'chisisa tse'asecha. You should cover over the feces. So Chazal learned from there that once it's covered, it's a whole different story. Once it's covered, even if it's covered with something that you could see through, it's covered by glass or plastic in a plastic bag or something, and you can actually see through it, there the din is, assuming, let's say there's no reach. Let's say there's no reach at all. It's just, it's in this and it's covered, then you only have to be dalat amos away. I retract that, strike that from the record. You don't even have to be dalat amos away if it's covered. If it's covered and there's no reach, you don't even have to be dalat amos away. It could be even right in front of you. You could even see it. It's, wow. It even if you see it through the through the what's the word, transparent. Translucent, transparent, okay, transparent. Through the transparent cover, you see it, it's okay as long as it is indeed covered and there's no reach. Now, if there is a reach that emits a reach, then you're definitely not allowed to be within the range of the reach, even though it's covered. And there's a shaila in the achronim, do you have to be, again, dalad amas away from where the reyach ends? Because this is what's called, when it's covered, the reyach is classified in halach as a reyach ra, a foul odor, she'ein bo ikr, which, like kilalik, doesn't have a source. Because the source of it is that so it is covered, and in halacha, it's like it's not there. It's like it's not there because I'm allowed to say, if there is takano reyach, I'm allowed to say priyashma right next to it. I could be standing right next to it. So, because it's covered. So it's like it's not there. So even if it has a reyach, the reyach is called the reyach ra she'ein bo ikr, as if it's coming from no discernible source. And by a reyach ra she'ein bo ikr, there's a shaila in the post. The Mishnah Berurah in one place brings that the Prima Gadim was mekel and said, on that you don't need dala amas mimakam shekal ha-reyach, you just have to be out of the range of the reyach.
Why is it an ikr? Because you don't know where it's...
Well, Eimbo Ikri, it could be that Yitaka, there's no noticeable source. You don't know where it's coming from. Or there was, let's say there was Tsoa, and it was removed totally. But the smell lingers. That's called Eimbo Ikri, because the source of it, the thing that's causing the Reich, is gone. It's not here anymore. All that lingers is the actual odor.
So if you're in someone in a place where they don't know where it's coming from,
if you can't locate, you can't pin it down to anywhere. But here I'm saying it's called Eimbo Ikr because it's covered. And once it's covered, it's ki'ilu, it's not there. Right? As I said before, you'll have to say Kriya Shema right next to it. It's like it's not there. So that's why it's called Eimbo Ikr. So the Prima Gadim one place says then that you just have to make sure you don't smell it. Elsewhere, he says he's not so sure about that, and the Mishnah Berurah himself brings her a number of achronim that are machmir. So this is a shaila in halacha, and we'll see a little bit later maybe how it plays itself out. Again, the shaila is: do you definitely have to be out of the range of the reyach, even if it's so as covered? But do you have to be four amos away from there, or you just have to be out of the range itself? Okay, now in a situation where, let's say, the so is there. And you can't do anything about it. You're in a place, let's say a person, whatever the situation, Shabbat talks about, once on a person who's in a Beis Hasurim, he's in prison somewhere in a more primitive type of a situation where, you know, there aren't proper facilities there and doesn't have anything to cover it, whatever it is. If it means he can't daven, it just means he can't daven. If he doesn't have the way to halachically remedy the problem, it's Osir Midaraisa. It's a deraisa to daven or to say Kriya Shema, anything. The Mishnah Berurah points out, by the way, all these things, I've said a few times, but all these things, Kriya Shema, davening, brachos, Divrei Torah is all the same gather for everything that we said till now. And if you can't remedy it, it's an Isser deraisa to say anything.
And to think also.
It's also right. It's also to think as well, right? But I'm saying it means you can't daven. What?
You can't think Kriya Shema?
If it's a makom matuna, if you're not even allowed to be mahar, that's correct. There are other cases where, like I said, by erev, you know, or by a balkeri, where midina the gemara balkeri is not allowed to say kriyishma. So there's discussion in some cases whether he could or could not be mahar. Some cases, but here again, like, yeah.
Somebody walks in a place that there's such a strong smell. Let's say a shohet, and he's used to the smell. It's no longer bad for him.
It's coming from sources that are considered usher in the halacha. Not every source of reyach ra is usher, but for example, if it is, let's say, decaying meat, if there is an avail or something decaying, then that's usher. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, but you know, like butcher smell, it's not
right. So okay, so we'll have to see later exactly, but like which things are problem. But if something that's a problem in adin, it's not going to help. Other things, they're mechalik. Like sometimes a person, some people might be more affected by, sometimes other, you know, by other human body odors or something might be more affected than other people. So that's a discussion. We'll see later if there are ways to remedy that or does it go by the individual. But something like this, it doesn't. So it doesn't make a difference. That's considered bad, some reyach ra. It doesn't make a difference if this person, even he works amongst it and around it all the time and it doesn't bother him. Now, okay, so now, besides the fact that it's usur, and we just said now it's an issa d'oraisa, right, it's an issa d'oraisa from the pasuk we mentioned, even if a person went ahead and did lein kriya shma, or did daven, if he knew it, let's say he knew it was there, He knew it was there, and he did it anyway. And that would include, even if there's no smell, but let's say it's behind him. He's in a place, he just can't get away. He's in a stuck in a small place, whatever, and nothing he can do about it, and he can't cover it, nothing to cover it with, and he can't remove it, and it's within Dalet Amos. He's not even Yotzi B'Di'evit. Even B'Di'evit, he'd have to daven again if he's able to get out of that, you know, situation within the Zman Tefillah. He'd have to daven again if or say Kriya Shema again. That's for sure. He'd have to repeat either one of those two things. If it's after Zman Tefillah already, and then the din is he would not daven, meaning he can't daven a tashlumen, he can't daven a makeup davening, because it's not, you know, if he knew he's not supposed to do it, but he said, how can I not daven? And he goes and davens, and then afterwards he realizes, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Or he asks someone and says, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, so he can't even daven over again. If it's within the Zman, he can. If it's within the Zman Tefillah, then he's mechuyev to. But once it's past Zman Tefillah, a person can't make up a Tefillah if he missed it b'mezid. So this is, you know...
If someone's like, say, in the middle of Shemot Esrei, and then he realizes something is next to a dirty diaper or something, you know...
Yeah, then if it's something that requires the Jasur to daven, he has to stop.
And is it considered that human feces at any age? Like, is the baby feces okay. Not considered?
We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. No, hopefully today.
Does it count for the Mea Brachos?
If he did a biser,
yeah.
I would think not. I mean, we saw cases where a person davened if he got yalaviyavo or something, but there we wanted to say maybe because it's still considered a bracha, even though he's not yotze completely. But here it's mamish bracha v'tol. But just thinking that, because what I was saying with this halacha that he's not can't daven over after the zman. I was quoting a Mishnah Brura. However, I just want to clarify something. As I'm saying it, something's occurring to me. The case of Mishnah Brura would be where he could have gone elsewhere, and or he could have gotten rid of stuff, but whatever. It doesn't bother me. I just want to get it over with, whatever. And then afterwards he realizes, someone tells him, "What are you doing? What are you, where are you coming from? That's are you serving Hashem? Are you serving yourself? What are you bothering davening for if you're not even biyotze and you're doing this? Not only not being biyotze, but you're doing this to the rice." Like, so the guy feels very bad, and else he wants to daven again. So that would be lechari case that he can't daven again because he could have done the right thing and he didn't. He could have davened. If a person's stuck in a place where he can't daven and he can't fix it, and then Lachar, he would have the opportunity to daven again, even after this month. So even if he did daven be'isser, but he had no choice to daven be'heter, right? So it's not like penalizing him, saying, "Oh, you daven be'isser, you can't daven again." It's just we're saying it's not called, it's not the case of tefillas tashlumen. It's not the case that qualifies for tefillas tashlumen. It's not. It doesn't qualify for that. But that's where lechara where he could have done the right thing and he didn't. Machmas atzlos, he was lazy or whatever else. But okay, that's
if he just didn't know and then someone told him afterwards.
So he didn't realize the halacha.
Yeah.
He thought so stubborn that he could and then he's shogeg lechara. Then he could. Let's say it's like a person who didn't know you had to say Mashiach Maragashim. He thought, you don't have to start till December 4th, whatever. Say Mashiach Maragashim. So he davened, so then he was a shogeg lachar. He would be able to daven over again. But I also want to clarify, this is not only speaking about where he knew the substance was there. It also includes a case where he didn't know, but it was a place where it's matsui, where it's prevalent and common that it could be there, and he should have checked. And he didn't bother checking. That could be making more, much more relevant. If we'll think of such relevant cases where it could be mutzi. But what I mean is, we're not talking about a guy who just didn't bother and now he didn't bother. He didn't bother checking. He said, "Come on,
Is it considered covered if it's in a different room, but physically, like let's say there's a bathroom on the other side of the wall of the shul where it was davening. It could be a bathroom on the other side where the toilet's right here.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely considered covered. Right.
By a wall or a door.
Yes. We'll see. This machlokes we've shown about the status when it's in a different room, and bathrooms themselves have a whole shiloh. We're not going to get to all that tonight, but hopefully we can get to some of these. What you're asking touches on some points that we have to clarify.
So if you go to a shul and there's a slight odor, like somebody left the door open of the washroom, it's forbidden to pray there, huh?
If you are magish, the odor is for sure forbidden. Well, again, See, we're going to have to get that later. There is, like I said, there is a machlokas we showed him about when it's coming from a different room, which we'll talk about. Because everything's obvious, but we'll Beshem have to get to that. But definitely the right thing to do is close the door and.
Yeah, it's covered the room. So it's like I said, it's covered now.
But the cover doesn't help if you smell the odor.
Yeah, you said it. If it's covered, then you smell the odor. It's like I'm having an ichor.
Right, Rashi and the ichor, but it's still, as I just said, you might not have to go 4 amas away from where the odor ends, but you can't be in the range of the odor. If it's just also the fact that it's covered, that doesn't help you if you actually smell it. All I said was that you don't have to, according to one tzad in the Prima Gadim, you don't have to go 4 amas away.
I understood that you can't be there because it's not there.
No. Reach Hashem bo ichor is aser. It's Reach Hashem is aser. It's just that, as I said, you some achronim hold, or there's a tzad in the Prima Gadim that you don't have to be 4 amas away from where the odor ends. Being in a different room always might be better than covered even. It's an entirely different rishus, and that's we'll see later. Rishon and Rishon.
The water in the toilet is considered covered. If something's in the toilet and it's covered by the water,
yeah, okay, we'll see. I want to try to go in order of what I prepared more, and we'll get to some of these details. Let me just see one second. Okay, now this din that we say that I mentioned, that even if a person wasn't aware of it, but it was a place where he should have examined because it's prevalent. So that's a shiloh though, if that goes beyond dalaramas. Meaning to say, we said before at the beginning that if it's in front of you, then even beyond dalaramas it's aser. So that's for sure where you know about it. But let's say you don't know about it, but it's a place where it's very, very possible. But there's an opinion brought in Shulchan Aruch that as long as you know that you've checked your Dalet Amos, for sure, within Dalet Amos in front of you, there's no substance and there's no Reach. Right? That much you checked. You went, you walked ahead, you made sure up to Dalet Amos ahead of you, there's nothing to be seen, nothing, and no odor. So then you went ahead and said whatever you said, and then you find later that there's something out of your Dalet Amos, straight in front of you, which had you known about would have been usher. So there, but the other though, it's not so pashut that you have to do it again. Again, had you known it was there, then you would. And even, you know, you would have to do it over. But you have to repeat it. But you didn't know it was there. You just didn't check that far. So there's a Shitz Rishonim that you're not mechuyev to check that far. And that's the Ma'aseh of the Mishnah Berurah. Is makel in that way that b'di'evid, if you found it afterwards, this is the Mishnah Berurah. The opinions are brought in Siman Pei Aleph Sif Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah there paskins that Sifkan Yud Gimel that b'di'evid you would not be chozer in that case. But again, they're speaking about where there's for sure nothing physical, no substance, and no reach within the Dalet Amos ahead of you. Then later it turns out, but there was something 5 amas or 6 amas away, then you wouldn't. But the evid, you would not have to repeat. You weren't aware of it, so but the evid, you wouldn't have to repeat it.
In a place where it could have been found, or a place where it wasn't expected.
If it wasn't expected, for sure you don't have to. Even if it was within your dalet amas,
where
you had a chiyuv to check, right? But if you're in a place where you're not mechuyev to check, even if you find it within your dalet amas, but I had no idea, then you're not. You don't have to repeat it. But the evid. Okay. Now. And just one more detail in the alumnus, the Bir Halacha has a tzad that even if the iser to daven or to say Kriya Shema is an iser Torah in places with foul substance, but that which we say you're not yotze even b'di'eved, that he wants suggests could be his only midrabbanan, right? No, that you're not allowed to do it min Torah, but to say that min Torah you're not even yotze b'di'eved, that's not so pashit. The chiyuv to be chozer, he writes, at least the Prima Gadim suggests, is a chiyuv de Rabbanan. Okay, now we said a chiyuv to be chozer, we mentioned specifically Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei. But we said it's usher to say anything, even Torah, but the chiyuv to be chozer, we mentioned only so far Shemona Esrei and Kriya Shema. And Kriya Shema includes the Kriya Shema with the brachos. But what about other brachos? What about benching? Let's say a person benched, and it was a place where there was some substance there, or and he knew about it, or he should have suspected, he should have checked, and he didn't check, and then, sure enough, afterwards he finds something there. So, that is a shaila later in Hilchos Berachos HaMazon, in which in Siman Kuf Pei He, there is a question in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif He, whether it's necessary to bench again, whether it's necessary and whether you should bench again or not. The Bir Halacha, however, suggests that the Suffolk is only in the case where you didn't know. I mean, the Bir Halacha wants to say that it wants to suggest that everyone would agree that if you knew about it, then for sure you have to bench again. The only Rishonim who is saying that maybe benching you don't repeat, Krishman davening yes, but benching not, is where you didn't know about it, but you should have checked. You were negligent for not checking, but you didn't actually know about it. That's what he wants to say, some Rishonim or Mekel. But even there, the Bir Halacha passes here L'chumra. L'maisi passes L'chumra. Again, certainly if you knew about it, then for sure he passes L'chumra. But even if you didn't know about it, even if you didn't know about it, but you should have checked. Again, a place that you should have checked, the place where it's common, it's Matsui, and you didn't check. And then, sure enough, you find afterwards, Bir Halacha passes, you have to bench again, Berachos HaMazon. And it seems from what he's saying and from the sources that he brings that it's not just Berachos HaMazon, it's all brachas. All brachas you would have to repeat again under those circumstances. Okay, now, one or two more details before we get to the home, possible home scenarios. One is that there's no shiur. There's no amount. There's no minimum amount for when we talk about soa. It doesn't make a difference how small it is. Even if it's just like a small amount, a small amount that has no reach. It has no reach at all. But it's within the person's dalet amos, or it's within his vision in front of him, then it's still the same iser. And even if it's, Mr. Rur brings, even if it's somewhat dry, so that it has no reach, or even frozen. And you can figure some during the winter in some cold communities you could have that. I mean, it's usually going to be from club and from dogs, which is not a problem. But theoretically, if there'd be something out on the street, human feces, it's not the rachok that it could be frozen. It doesn't make a difference. And the only time that it's not a problem if it's so dry and brittle that it's crumbling or it crumbles. It crumbles either by throwing it or by dropping it or by rolling it over, whatever. It's mamish, to that point where it's like crumbles. But if it's not crumbling, even if it's dry enough that it has no reach or frozen and has no reach, still all these halachas still apply.
Let's say someone daven and then they see something, but they don't know if it's human or if it's a dog or they're not sure what it is.
Okay, so if it's a place that you normally would not have to be mistapik, then we say, then you can assume. I mean, it's not matzah. If human stuff is not matzah there, then you don't have to assume it is. Okay, so let's talk about something in a minute. So what it says, I'm sorry, you guys said that?
Yeah, just like if you don't know what it came from.
Okay, so if it's not a place that is matzah, so you have human feces, then
you should assume that it is human. And if there's dogs around there too, or other animals on a farm or something. Should you assume that
they're both matzoi? Well, that might get into whether the chiyuv to repeat it is deraisa or the rabbana. We said it brings a shayla in the prima gadim. If the chiyuv to repeat it is deraisa, so then we might say safil chumah. But let's see if we can figure that out. Because in Simen Ayin Vav, in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Ayin Vav, Si'if Zayin. It sounds like this. It says, Safek in Soa Babayas. Safek is Soa in one's house. So mutar likros, you can learn Krishma. The chezka is bayis she'im batzoa. The assumption is that in the house there's no tzoa, as opposed to an ashpa. Suffik and tzoa ba ashpa in a garbage heap, asur bishum the chezka is ashpa she'ish batzoa. Now, and we're talking about Now the shaila is, well, is that the same? Is it still true nowadays? Either part of that sentence. So first of all, as far as the ashpa, that's something we're going to address: garbage cans in the street. The big city garbage cans where a lot of garbage gets dumped. What is their status? Are you allowed to say brachas in the street? Are you allowed to talk and learning in the street when there are these garbage cans, especially on a Monday and Thursday when they're all lined up right in front of you?
When their tops down. In those days, they didn't have bathrooms burning in the house. Their bathrooms were.
So, see, the reason why the ashpa, even with the top down, might be is at least a discussion, is because there's one of the other aspects we have to discuss is what's called a graf shalrei, which means something, a keli, which is designed and set aside for collecting the shmutz, feces, and maybe even mered lime, something that's made for that, a potty or some sort of bedpan or something like that, or a garbage can if it's prevalent, it's meant for throwing in even this type of garbage. So that's why, or
even though most of the time
it's
going to be in a bag.
Well, okay, that's a discussion. I didn't. Yes, that's one of the major factors. The fact that nowadays, usually, most of the majority of the garbage is already in a separate bag. Right? That's going to be. There's a lot of these things, halachas, and some of it's a lot of stuff which is relevant as this. But so now let's start with this. So it says suffix or a bias, not a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, that's talking about when there are no small children, no kids in the house. Mishnah Berurah Chavei, v'matz yisham ketanim, tzarech liptok, then you do have to check, because there are small children, then it's not, no chazaka, there's not by soa. But the opposite, there's a very, very like there is soa. Now, but now let's move it up a few, maybe another 100 years. Well, back then, they didn't have diapers, or certainly not, disposable diapers, and even, cloth diapers weren't as popular, and it was much more likely, that a child who wasn't trained would do what he needs to wherever he needs to, and then especially if they had dirt floors, and they would anyway just end up, taking care of it. It wasn't a major deal to get rid of it and everything. So then, okay, could be very well mutzy in the house. The shaila is now with babies who are not toilet trained wear diapers in most civilized homes. They're wearing diapers at least most of the time, and if you catch them without a diaper, you put on the diapers as soon as you notice it. So it could be very prevalent that a child has a dirty diaper. That could be prevalent till somebody catches on and does something about it. But the question is, so is that still a problem? Is that still called matsui? If it's matsui that there's a dirty diaper, is that a problem? Now, a dirty diaper means it's covered. I mean, again, most of the cases, it's contained within the diaper, and it's all covered, even if the diaper is dirty, but it's all covered. The reich might not be contained, though. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. So l'chara, though, I think it's safe to say that today's houses, again, are back to what the Mechaber said. Or the way the Mechaber said it, that the chezkas bayish ein bo tzoa, because they say, because even though there might be a child, even a house that has small children, babies, because even though there might be a child with a dirty diaper, but it's not likely that there's any tzoa that's exposed. It's possible, but it's not likely. The only tzoa would be likely would be in a closed diaper, so it would be considered again that ein bo tzoa. The question is though,
why is it
ain't because it's mechusa? Yes, there's no exposure. Yes. Now the question is, well, is that good enough? Or do you have to check? Okay, do you have to check? So this is the most practical question. You have small kids in your house. Do you have to check the baby's diaper before a baby who's running around or sitting at the table with you, maybe sitting on your lap? And are you allowed to bench? Are you allowed to say kiddush? Are you allowed to brachas or anything else you're doing in the house? Devitara? You're learning with a chavrus in the house, so you're learning on Zoom, and you're speaking, and your child or grandchild or whoever it is running around with possibly the dirty diaper. So clearly, if you smell anything, then for sure it's usher. If you margish an odor, the baby's on your lap, and you sense that not everything is in order, so then for sure you have to do something about it. You have to check and either change his diaper or give him back to his mother who's in, whatever it is. However you deal with it. It's not a Shalom Bayis class here, so we don't have to get to how you remedy the problem. But you sure have to do something about that if you notice the reich, and it would be usher when you notice the reich, it's usher to say any bracha or learn anything like that. But if you don't notice, okay, and let's say you do know, but you can't change the diaper right now, or no one's home to change the diaper right now, or whatever it is. So, how far do you have to move away from this child, or move the child away from you, whatever it is? So, lechatchila, you should move to a spot where you're 4 amas away from where the reach ends. Right. In other words, if there's a reach that's emitting, that he's emitting, that's emerging, or whatever, from the diaper, you should lechatchila make sure you're four amas away from where that reich ends. But there is makom to be mekel if that's difficult or whatever impossible right now. There's makom to be mekel as long as you're out of the range, because we say, because again, it's covered. It's a covered reich, or it's a covered feast, covered substance. So it's a covered substance. So the reich is called ein bo ikur, and there's a tzad and achronim. And I saw it brought down in the sefer of Vizos Habracha, and I think it was quoted in also brought, not just quoted, but also brought Ashrei Ha'ish quoting other makaros, all quoting Rabbi Yashiv. That's what I'm getting the bottom. Quoting Rabbi Yashiv that said that there is a, he seemed to see the strong room to be. There's ample room to be makel in the shaila. Again, in the shaila of whether if it's covered tzoa, is it okay as long as you're out of the range of the reich? You don't smell anything. It's covered and you smell nothing. You're not four amas away from it. You just go, like I can imagine, I'll say, you have to make a bracha or something, or so you put, you know, you move the kid, okay, you move all the way to the other end room, but then he's starting to run back. So how much time do you have until he gets within that, you're four amas again within the range of the reich? So whatever the situation, so this they bring from Balyashev that there's a strong makom to be makel in the shaila, certainly when necessary. That wouldn't help. That's not sufficient. If you're in the range of the reich, it doesn't help. Just like it. You know, if it's, you don't even see the tzoa is behind you, and you don't even smell it within your dalat amas, it's usser. So if you're within the range of the reich, it doesn't help to close your nose.
If someone's within the dalat amas, but they don't smell it, right? And they make a bracha. You have to repeat the bracha, right?
They didn't. They don't smell
it. Behind them, they don't smell it. They don't know that it was there.
So then they would only have to repeat it if it's within dalat amas and it was a place that they should have suspected. They should have checked.
Let's say yes, it wasn't. Yeah.
They should have checked, and they didn't. Then even if they didn't smell it, as long as within Dalat Amas, they would have to repeat the bracha. Because that's called machanecha. It's within your machane, within your Dalat Amas. It's within your Dalat Amas, that's your machane. Your machane is not kadosh. You have to repeat it. Okay, so but kol zman, you don't smell anything. So they bring this sefer, Rabbi Baden, the sefer, same bracha, and Vizosa bracha, and others bring from, again, from Abba Yashiv, and other gedolim have said the same thing. You're not mechuyev to check. If you don't, even if the baby's mamash on your lap, but you smell nothing, you're not mechuyev to check. And the hesber being that, the hesber being that, first of all, you don't know if there's anything there. Even if there's something there, it's very possible there's no reich at all. I mean, especially if the child's right on your lap and you don't smell anything, so it seems that, you know, it's very... very likely that the reich's not there, but even let's say that there's no reich at all, but even if she's not mamash on your lap, it's possible it's a reich, and the child's sitting, you know, sitting at the table, not far from you, and it's possible if you got closer, you would be, there would be a reich, could be he's dirty, but I'm sitting here, I don't smell anything, so again, number one, he might not be dirty altogether. Even if he's dirty, there's not necessarily any reich that's going beyond the diaper, and even if there is, we said, it's not so pashut that you have to be more than, I'm out of that range. I clearly don't smell anything, so I'm definitely out of the range of the reich. I might not be dalat amas out of the range, but that itself is a machlokas. So we have two sveikas that it could be. I heard this hesber once said in the name of Rav Shmuel Felder, from Lakewood. I heard, this is what I heard in his name, these three studim, that there might be nothing at all. Even if there's something, there might be no reich coming out at all. And even if there is, but you're, since you are out of the range of the reich, even though you might be within dalat amas of the range of the reich, but that itself is a machlokas achronim, so that already you could be mekel, and that you wouldn't have to check. So this is what, you know, a very practical halacha. But this is all talking about that you didn't smell it. If you have no suspicion, if you have a suspicion, then you got to check. Okay, so the last thing just to cover for now, it was this before, when we talk about a katan, is there any age, any minimum age? There's obviously no maximum age, I mean, except in Mitzias, of course. But in terms of... is there a minimum age? Is there a point where we say, even though it's dirty, but that's not called soa yet? So a pi halach there is, but it's not so much an age as a range of age. And that is, once a child is capable, a child or other children his age are capable of eating a kezayis dagon, a kezayis of grain, wheat, barley, oats, spelled right, within kedech les pras, which is, we usually take to be about 4 minutes. L'chumra, it's 9 minutes, but... The Iker Shin is about 4 minutes. If a child who's at the age where a child that age typically in that society will be fed dagon and eat it within about 4 minutes, at that point you have to be machmer. Even if you know this child never did, as long as he's healthy enough. If this child, Chas Shalom, is particularly, he's not healthy, and therefore he can't, so then till 6 or 7 years old, you don't have to be machmir with this child. But assume this child is, but meanwhile, he's happy with a bottle and mashed apricots. So you're not giving him any grains yet. But other kids his age will already eat grains, and theoretically he could, and they could eat, again, at that age, you have to be machmir, because at that age, we say his system converts anything it eats into stuff that's considered sufficiently masriach, sufficiently foul, and odorous, and therefore you have to be machmer.
Like a slice of bread or something like
that. About a slice of bread is like about and that he would eat within the, yeah, but not just bread. Even if he could only eat something like oatmeal, something that, soft and cooked, as long as he could eat a kazayas of it, like an ounce of grain, pure grain product, within about 4 minutes, even if you could, like I said, only eat it in a softer form, that still would be enough. And they say, well,
Cheerios.
Yeah. And the Sfarim say that in America, or in our, it's a pretty young age. For sure, many say less than a year, for sure by a year, but even less than a year. Some say it's less, as little as even about 3 months. You could this is what, so they say Rebbe Hashanah. But okay, but let's say even if it's a little bit more than that, but definitely less than a year. Definitely less, the kids are eating, but not too many that they eat a bagel. They're eating a bowl of oatmeal or Cheerios, like you say.
So 1 ounce?
One ounce is a gazayas.
Like a few spoons,
folks?
Whatever.
But we go about the average of the kids of the place or your kid. Let's say my daughter was breastfed almost till the year.
Right, no, so as long as she's healthy, as long as it's not because she can't eat it, you're not, like I said, you're not feeding her. But once she's at the age that children that age typically do or often do, and they're capable of it, then you have to be machmer from that age and up. Before that age, al-pidin, it's not considered soa, and even if it's there, and if you smell, it's not considered soa, al-pidin. But it does say that it's tov v'yashar to be machmer even from, Mishnah Berurah says, 8 days old, he's going by a case of a bris, the others say he means even mamish from birth. L'chadchila, it's tov v'yashar. It's not a din, you don't have to, but it's good to try to be machmer, not to say within, the odor or the presence of uncovered baby feces, even younger than that.
Don't the halachas apply to any raya? I would think it would start at day one. Does it apply to any raya? There was a spoiled egg.
Because the point has to be that their system breaks food down to a certain point where it's called soa in halacha. Because now we'll see, maybe we'll get to that next time. But that's not just any foul reich. Okay, so I'll hold there for now, and someone pick up.